Today is the 17th of August 2025, and you are about to listen to Amateur Radio Today. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever in the world you may be listening to us. This is Amateur Radio Today, a program of news, views, and interviews about amateur radio, shortwave listening, and electronics. Amateur Radio Today is produced and presented by the South African Radio League, the national body for amateur radio in South Africa. I'm your host, Hans van der Groenendaal, ZS6 Alpha Kilo Victor, and I live in the capital city of Pretoria, where today it looks like spring is getting ready to dawn. Well, let's hope it's the end of the cold weather. But we have a real warm program for you today, so stay tuned for the next hour or so. We start with the SRL News Bulletin, and for that we go to the city of Gqeberha, where Rory Norton is standing by with the latest. First, the news headlines.
In the news today, Orion Primary School to have a QSO with the ISS. SARL and AMSAT SA held a successful meteor scatter communication webinar. And the SARL HF CW contest next Sunday. Stay tuned for more information on these and other interesting news items. Orion Primary School to have a QSO with the ISS. A direct radio contact has been scheduled between the International Space Station and the Orion Primary School in Alberton. The event will take place from 12:24:55 until 12:35:49 Central African Time on Tuesday, the 26th of August, and the call sign for the event will be ZS9 Lima Sierra Oscar. The event will be live streamed via YouTube to all the neighboring schools in Alberton, affording hundreds of children the opportunity to be part of this once-in-a-lifetime experience. The link to the channel is available in the news bulletin hard copy. The Alberton Amateur Radio Interest Group will be providing the technical support. The setting up of the station at the school will start on Friday, the 22nd of August, with a final testing of communication and streaming systems on Monday, the 25th of August. A field station will also be established on Friday, broadcasting on 40 meters, further demonstrating amateur radio as a hobby to the youth. This station will be active on 22, 25, and the morning of the 26th of August. For more information, please contact Gerard, ZS6 Charlie Romeo Sierra. The email address, zs6crs@gmail.com. A change to the calendar. It has been decided to move the ZS SOTA activity weekend back one weekend. In the 2025 diary of events, it is shown as the weekend of the 20th and 21st of September. But the ZS SOTA team has decided that the weekend of 13 and 14 September will be more suitable. The European SOTA Day takes place on Saturday the 13th of September as well. So all the SOTA activators start making your plans for activating summits on the 13th and 14th of September. Join the ZS SOTA WhatsApp group to get the latest information. the weekly SARL News. The South African Radio League's news team ensures that there is an English and Afrikaans bulletin each week. There are three bulletin writers, three English proofreaders, and two Afrikaans proofreaders, four English recorders, and four Afrikaans recorders. No, not 16 people, but 12. There is a vacancy for an Afrikaans proofreader. An Englishman is doing it at this stage. We invite clubs and individuals to submit news items of interest to Radio Amateur and shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans, where possible, by uploading the news item at https://mysarl.org.za/news-inbox/, or send the item to news@sarl.org.za no later than the Friday morning preceding the bulletin date. This allows the bulletin writer time to compile the bulletin and send it for proofreading and then to the recorders. Please do not send news items by WhatsApp. Make use of the two options of the news inbox or email. Here is an invitation to the various clubs around the country. Please provide news items of your club activities, meetings, boot sales, field days, build-a-thons, RAE, HF assessments, etc. There may be visitors to your area that would like to join in. The text bulletins are uploaded to https://mysarl.org.za/sarl-news/, and the audio bulletins are uploaded to https://sarlnews.podbean.com/ on a Saturday afternoon. You will also find the Amateur Radio Today podcast on the Podbean site on Sundays. You are listening to a news bulletin of the South African Radio League. SARL and AMSAT SA held a successful media scatter communication webinar. Last Monday, the South African Radio League, in cooperation with AMSAT SA, held a successful webinar to promote media scatter communication amongst South African radio amateurs. The webinar was led by Derek Gravett, ZS5 Yankee, with a guest presentation by Frank Schneider, ZS6 Golf Echo. A video of the webinar will be available early next week on the AMSAT SA YouTube channel. For details, visit www.amsatsa.org.za. The first few videos of the presentations at the 2025 AMSAT SA Space Symposium have also been posted on the AMSAT SA web pages. ARRL Books. A limited number of ARRL books are locally available from the SA Amateur Radio Development Trust online bookshop. For details and an order form, visit www.amateurradio.org.za. Another repeater for Polokwane. It is with great joy that we announce that the second Polokwane repeater license, sponsored by the West Rand, has been issued. The call sign for this repeater is Zulu Uniform 0 Papa Lima Yankee and is located on Esterberg, SOTA ZS/LP 107. The repeater transmits on 439.150 MHz, with the input 7.6 MHz lower at 431.550 MHz. We hope that this is a positive start to the Soutpansberg Amateur Radio Club revival, and that the new Polokwane repeaters will join the ZA All-Star Net in due time. Contest news. The third and final contest of the SARL HF contest is the HF CW contest, and it will be on the air from 14 to 17 hours UTC on Sunday the 24th of August, with activity on 80, 40 and 20 meters. The exchange is a realistic RST report and a consecutive serial number starting at 001. You can participate as a single operator, single radio, single band, or a single operator, single radio all band, or your club can participate as a multi-operator single band or a multi-operator all band station. In each case, there is a YL or youth overlay. You score 1 point for each QSO, 2 points for each call area worked on each band, and there are 9 call areas, and 2 points for each station contacted on all 3 bands. Submit your log in ADIF, Cabrillo or MS Excel by 21 hours 59 UTC on Friday the 29th of August by email contest@sarl.org.za. You'll find the rules in the 2025 SARL contest manual, HF Happenings 1158 and pages 16 and 17 of the August Radio ZS. Looking ahead, the weekend of 6 and 7 September is going to be busy with the IARU Region 1 Field Day, the SARL National Field Day, and the SARL VHF UHF FM contest. Propagation report. Hannes Kutsier, ZS6 Bravo Zulu Papa, reports that solar activity is expected to be at low levels during the week. There are currently 15 sunspot regions with simple to slightly complex magnetic configurations visible. There is a high probability for C-class and a low to moderate probability for M-class solar flares. If you want to do your own frequency predictions, the expected effective sunspot number for the week will be around 87. The 30 to 15 meter bands may provide some DX. Please visit the website spaceweather.sansa.org.za for further information. Finally, a diary of some upcoming events. Today, the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend, 18 to 25 August, the Region 1 YOTA Summer Camp, 19 August, World Humanitarian Day, 20 August, the SARL Wednesday 80 meter club contest, 24 August, the SARL HF CW contest, 26 August, the Alberton ISS event, 27 August, the Santon Power Hour Tech Talk, 30 August, the West Rand Boot Sale, 6 and 7 September, the Region 1 Field Day, SARL National Field Day, and the SARL VHF UHF FM contest. 7 September, a lunar eclipse over South Africa. To conclude our bulletin, a recap of our main news story. A direct radio contact has been scheduled between the International Space Station and the Orion Primary School in Alberton. The event will take place from 12:24:55 until 12:35:49 Central African Time on Tuesday, the 26th of August, and the call sign for the event will be ZS9 Lima Sierra Oscar. The event will be live streamed via YouTube to all the neighboring schools in Alberton. This concludes our bulletin for this morning. We invite clubs and individuals to submit news items of interest to radio amateurs and shortwave listeners in both English and Afrikaans, if possible, by uploading the news items to mysarl.org.za/news-inbox or sending the item to news@sarl.org.za no later than the Friday morning preceding the bulletin date. You are welcome to join us every Sunday morning for the weekly radio program Amateur Radio Today at 10 hours Central African Time. The program can be heard on VHF and UHF repeaters countrywide and relayed on 7115 kHz lower sideband by Louis ZR4 Delta Juliet Lima. In Cape Town, you can listen at 10:30 Central African Time on the 145.700 MHz repeater with Echolink to ZS1 Delta Charlie Charlie-R by Dave ZS1 DFR. A rebroadcast by Andy ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee can be heard on Monday evenings at 19:30 Central African Time on 3620 kHz. We welcome your signal reports, comments, and suggestions. Please send these by email to artoday@sarl.org.za. You have listened to a news bulletin which was written by Andy, ZS6 Alpha Delta Yankee, proofread by Paul, ZS1 Sierra, and read by Rory, ZS2 Bravo Lima. From the news team, best wishes for the week ahead.
Thanks there to Rory. You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZSX SRL. Well, from Gabera, we're going to the USA, where we have Newsline with international news.
Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stefan Kenford, N8WB.
We begin this week with a report about a dramatic turnaround of the staffing in a major U.S. government weather agency, just as Atlantic hurricane season begins gathering momentum. Randy Sly, W4XJ, has that story.
Hundreds of jobs that were eliminated by cuts from the Department of Government Efficiency are to be refilled at the National Weather Service, which has been told it can hire as many as 450 radar technicians, meteorologists, and hydrologists. A CNN report said that the rehiring comes as the agency looks back on the deadly floods that ravaged Texas last month, while preparing for the arrival of hurricane season in a few weeks. The CNN report noted that the cuts have led to many agency staffers taking on bigger workloads and longer hours, and cited the reduction in data available to the Weather Service, the result of fewer launches of weather balloons. Meteorologist Louis Uccellini, former director of the National Weather Service, told the Associated Press that the hirings were, quote, great news for the NWS and the American public, end quote, adding that he would like to see them get underway. He was NWS director from 2013 until he stepped down in 2022. This is Randy Sly, W4XJ.
The remaining older satellites in a constellation identified earlier this year as being in end-of-life status are now being decommissioned by the U.S. government. Jen DeSalvo, W9TJX, has that report.
As the U.S. government had previously announced, the remaining satellites in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration's legacy constellation of Polar Operational Environmental Studies are in the process of being decommissioned. The PoSystem satellite, known as NOAA 15, was to be taken out of service on the 12th of August, and another NOAA 19 on the 19th of the month. Earlier this year, both were declared in the end-of-life stage, along with a third constellation satellite, NOAA 18, which was decommissioned back in June. For years, these satellites were relied upon by many users for vital weather data via their 137 megahertz automatic picture transmissions. These APT signals have provided data used in monitoring the environment, forest fires, volcanic eruptions, and global vegetation. Despite claims the satellite's transmissions will continue, an RTLSDR website article reports the transmitters will indeed be turned off. The end-of-life status means that the satellites are no longer eligible for repair or recovery efforts. In fact, NOAA says that these satellites should no longer be considered reliable sources of information for critical or emergency purposes. As for deorbiting the satellites, no plans have been announced. However, NOAA has issued an advisory on its website warning, quote, direct users should make plans to discontinue use of PoSystem data. This is Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
In Florida, one retirement community is facing this coming hurricane season the way it has faced the last half dozen hurricane seasons, with a robust radio network. Jack Parker, W8ISH, explains.
During Atlantic hurricane season, many residents of Sun City Center, Florida, might feel as if they are living in Storm City Center instead. A disaster radio program managed by the Kings Point Amateur Radio Club has been growing strong within this retirement community to address those concerns. Launched 6 years ago, the program has woven an increasingly robust safety net and now provides assurance to as many as 800 residents, most of them between 70 and 80 years of age. It is all overseen by Eileen Bishop, AB9T, the club's emergency communications chair. Low-power FRS radios are provided to those who pay a $15 program registration fee at the community clubhouse. The little handheld transceivers, which do not require a license, connect them to any of 25 control stations around the community who can monitor and transmit on a common channel using their own licensed GMRS radios. According to Club Vice President Eric Niesenfeld, WA4EMN, most of these operators are also hams. The control center, Radio Alpha, is based at the clubhouse, and hams there monitor the system as well. The control stations in Radio Alpha can both summon the appropriate emergency service when necessary. Eric says associates are asked to check in at weekly nets at least 4 times a year to receive signal reports and ensure all is working properly. HOA and community management are also being added to the network. Sun City Center may not be able to stop the hurricanes, but with the power of radio, they can help residents brace for them. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
The Bouvet Island 3Y0K de-expedition is going forward, but one of its attempts to raise funds to support the trip is not. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, explains.
Even as the Bouvet Island 3Y0K team begins packing and shipping their equipment and other supplies for next year's de-expedition, the team has called off its plans for a lottery to help raise funds. Organisers announced on the team website that the cancellation is the result of, quote, legal issues brought to the team's notice, end quote. The announcement did not offer any specifics. Preparedness workshop and other activities still lay ahead for the operators well in advance of their scheduled departure date from Cape Town, South Africa, on the 1st of next February. The 21-day de-expedition has a budget in excess of $1.6 million in US currency, and had hoped the lottery would help cover expenses. The announcement of its cancellation included assurances that all tickets already purchased will be fully refunded through PayPal. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The newest ham radio operators in Malawi are celebrating their success, and a few are celebrating their upgraded licenses. John Williams, VK4, JJW, tells us about this growing community of hams in this African nation.
A handful of new and newly upgraded amateur radio operators in Malawi are celebrating their achievement in late July. The young radio operators have passed their exams with support of a grant from the YASME Foundation to cover all fees and related costs. Foundation President Ward Silver, N0AX, announced in late July that there are now 5 new licensees and 4 amateurs with upgraded licenses. The YASME Foundation has been assisting the Malawi project, which was launched by members of the HACDC Amateur Radio Club, W3HAC, in Washington, D.C., under the leadership of Don Jones, K6ZO/7Q6M. The project works with aspiring young amateurs in Malawi, the Comoros, and Uganda. It's now part of the Jeffrey Dahn Memorial Foundation, which promotes education in electronics to young people in Africa. This is John Williams, VK4JJW.
You're listening to Amateur Radio Today on ZS6SRL. Well, back here in South Africa now, we go to Cape Town for the weekly Hamnet report.
Since Monday, GDAX has been tracking and reporting on Tropical Cyclone Podol, active in the Northwest Pacific and aiming at Taiwan before crossing the coast of mainland China. Maximum wind speeds expected were 167 kilometers per hour and population threatened was more than 14 million. Podol was expected to intensify and make the first landfall over northeastern Taiwan in the morning UTC of the 13th of August, and the second landfall over southeastern Fujian province in China in the evening of the 13th of August as a tropical storm. For the following 72 hours, heavy rainfall and strong winds were expected across most of Taiwan, southeastern China, southern Japan, and northern Philippines. Dani, ZS1 Oscar Sierra Sierra, our Cape Town Disaster Risk Management Liaison, reports that on Friday the 15th of August 2025, an exercise called Operation Red Lion was held at the SA Naval Base in Simonstown. The exercise included a simulation around a suspect vehicle found on the base that contained a bomb. It was a joint exercise between the City of Cape Town's Disaster Risk Management and the SA Navy. After first responders had sounded the alert, the city's mobile disaster management JOC, or Joint Operations Centre, was on the scene, but situated outside of the expected blast area. The Navy also had their own JOC nearby, with one of their senior officers coordinating inside the city's JOC. Disaster Risk deployed their drone overhead to keep an eye on the situation and the scene around the suspect vehicle. The live feed from the drone was available to those in the JOC to see in real time. Periodically, the drone came back for the batteries to be swapped out, but this was all done with a minimum of delay, and the drone was up in the air for the duration of the exercise. Hamnet members arrived at the city's JOC at 10 hours 20 to be available for backup communications in case the primary internet and trunk radio services failed. Dani, ZS1 Oscar Sierra Sierra, was stationed at the city's JOC, whilst Sean, ZS1 Lima Echo Delta, moved to the Navy JOC. The intention behind this was to ensure communications between the two JOCs would be maintained. If it had not been an exercise, we would have mobilized additional Hamnet members who would have assisted with establishing communications at other locations, such as roadblocks and so on. The SA Navy sounded their sirens at 11 hours for evacuation, and all their dockyard staff proceeded to a safe location for roll call. Whilst the process was unfolding, Hamnet was asked to check their communications between the two JOCs. We did not have to relay exercise messages on the day, but rather to demonstrate we could establish and maintain communications. The distance between the JOCs was not very far, so 145.400 MHz simplex was quite adequate. We also tested using the Solaris Pass Hanskop repeater on 145.600 MHz as our backup, and that also worked without any issues. The Constantiaberg 145.700 MHz repeater would have been our ideal repeater, but it was in use by the various operators mobilizing for the lighthouse weekend at that time. We also took the opportunity to test out our mesh-tastic radios, that is, non-licensed mesh networking, and these also established a connection, and we were able to see each other's locations and text back and forth. The takeaway from the previous paragraph is you do need to have a backup plan and a backup for that plan too. It is no good stumbling into a situation and just hoping you'll establish contact. Other lessons learnt were having a single radio and scanning the frequencies for incoming messages is not ideal. if the primary frequency is not reachable, then you need to hear someone calling you on the backup frequency. The reason is the scanning may be interrupted by, for example, QSOs happening on the DMR channel, and during that interruption you may miss the other operator trying to call you. So an operator either needs to restrict the scanning to just the essential frequencies needing to be monitored, and this of course means fiddling with radio settings, or, better still, have at least two portable radios where one can be set to the main simplex channel being used and the other can monitor the backup frequency or repeater that was agreed upon. The exercise concluded at 12:45 and a short debrief session was held. Various issues were raised for possible improvement. One issue that did come up was that all marshals and others involved in the organising do need to be clearly identified with their high visibility safety vests, because this will aid movement against the flow of the people or for quickly passing through the various roadblocks. From Hamnet's perspective, the exercise was a great success, and it was good also to be able to demonstrate how we can establish communications with no other infrastructure required. It is only through an exercise that small improvements can be identified, and the important thing is to incorporate those lessons into our other preparation and procedures. Lastly, the request by the City Disaster Risk Management Centre for Hamnet to participate and demonstrate our communication abilities means that the partnership between the City, Hamnet, and the various other agencies participating is valued and appreciated. It was very good to see the high level of camaraderie and participation by everyone involved. And thank you for the interesting report, Donnie. I guess it was only going to be a matter of time before this happened. TechExplore.com reported this week that humanoid robots danced hip-hop, performed martial arts, and played keyboard, guitar, and drums at the opening ceremony of the first World Humanoid Robot Games in Beijing on Thursday evening. The competition began on Friday morning with more than 500 humanoid robots in 280 teams from 16 countries, including the US, Germany, and Japan, competing in sports, including soccer, running, and boxing. The event came as China has stepped up efforts to develop humanoid robots powered by artificial intelligence. During the opening ceremony, the robots demonstrated soccer and boxing, among other sports, with some cheering and backflipping as if at a real sports event. One robot soccer player scored a goal after a few tries, causing the robot goalkeeper to fall to the ground. Another player fell but stood up unassisted. The robots also modelled fashionable hats and clothes alongside human models. In one mishap, a robot model fell over and had to be carried off the stage by two human beings. Teams from robot companies and Chinese universities, including Tsinghua University and Peking University, were competing in the games. Three middle schools were also participating. China's official newspaper, People's Daily, quoted a government officer in Beijing as saying that every robot that participates is creating history. The event will last 3 days, concluding today, Sunday. And thanks to Tech Explore for that one. Now, this is Dave Reese, ZS1 Delta Fox Romeo, wondering whether one of those robots could take Ox and Che on in the front row of the scrum, and reporting for Hamnet in South Africa.
Thank you, Dave, for an interesting report. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRL, and from Cape Town we go up the coast to Durban for the weekly AMSAT satellite report. Here is ZS5 Foxtrot Romeo.
NASA curtails CSLI program, Golf launches cut. Jerry Buxton, N0JY, AMSAT Vice President of Engineering, received letters from NASA dated July 12, 2025, announcing changes to the CubeSat Launch Initiative, CSLI program. The letter started, in part, that as a result of President's proposal fiscal year 2026 budget, the reduction and realignment of personnel, NASA has fewer resources available to maintain the program as it is currently operating. Based on these program uncertainties, NASA said that they have the difficult decision to discontinue its cooperative work on those missions where launch services have not been manifested. AMSAT's Golf T and the Golf 1 missions are among those that have not been manifested, meaning they have not yet been scheduled for a particular launch. As such, NASA said they will not be able to provide launch opportunities for either of the Gulf missions, and there is no expectation that circumstances will change. Upon receiving this news, Buxton brought the matter to the attention of the AMSAT Board of Directors and its Executive Committee, who met on August the 5th. The Board of Directors and committee members unanimously supported continuation of the final development of the Gulf T mission, which is expected to be flight ready in 2026. Knowing that being accepted to the CSLI program does not actually guarantee a government-funded launch, AMSAT engineering and operations officials have maintained long-standing relationships with private integrators and launch services. In past years, might have taken years to schedule a ride on a non-government launch. But in today's competitive market among commercial integrators and launch services, rides for CubeSats can be secured in a matter of months. The Board of Directors and Executive Committee were emphatic that, despite the loss of the government-funded launch, the Gulf T mission should be completed on schedule and will be launched with the resources on hand. Still, the final chapter on this development has not been written. NASA states that the CSLI panel is planning to reconvene in the spring of 2026 to reassess program challenges and opportunities. In concluding his report, Buxton noted the changes to the CSLI program do not affect the timetable for the Fox Plus satellites, since they were never considered for the CSLI program. The AMSAT Board of Directors will take further action to ensure the timely launch of its satellites projects, and its annual Board of Directors meeting on October the 16th to the 17th, immediately prior to the AMSAT 43rd Annual Space Symposium and Annual General Meeting being held in Phoenix, Arizona. NASA's Lunar Trailblazer mission ends in disappointment. The Lunar Trailblazer mission to the Moon officially ended on July the 31st, but it wasn't a complete journey. NASA said on August the 4th that its teams lost contact with the satellite shortly after its launch on February the 26th. The NASA satellite was part of the IM-2 mission, or Intuitive Machines, which launched from Kennedy Space Center. The Lunar Trailblazer successfully separated from the SpaceX Falcon 9 rocket as planned about 48 minutes after launch. Operators in Pasadena, California established communications with the satellite, but two-way communication was lost the next day, and the team was unable to recover the connection. From the limited data ground teams received from the satellite when it went dark, the craft solar arrays were not correctly positioned towards the sun, which caused its batteries to drain. ISS crew expands to 11. Four new crew members are adjusting to life on the International Space Station and gearing up for several months of microgravity research to benefit humans living on and off the Earth. Meanwhile, another quartet that has been orbiting Earth since March is packing up and handing over responsibilities to the new crew before returning to Earth this week. Expedition 73 expanded to 11 individuals on Saturday, August the 2nd, when NASA's SpaceX Crew 11 mission docked to the orbital outpost aboard the Dragon spacecraft after launching from Florida about 15 hours earlier. The crew is well trained for its space research program and will soon begin investigating a wide variety of microgravity phenomena to gain insights only achievable in space. They will explore manufacturing high-quality stem cells, alternatives to antibiotics to treat bacterial infections, and cell divisions in plants to promote space agriculture and more. Now to some passes for today, Sunday the 17th of August, in all times in Central African time. The International Space Station, 1629 to 1639. ESO 50 or Saudi Sat 1C, 1357 to 1411, and finally Chapisa Sat, 1526 to 1538. This is ZS5FR for AMSAT SA.
In time with radio today on ZSX SRL, we welcome your reception reports. Write to us at artoday@srl.org.za. We welcome comments and suggestions. Any ideas of what you'd like to hear in the future is also welcome. Well, we're now going to our next session, and that is we're going to talk about focus on VHF and above. And for that, we go to Brian Jacobs, ZS6 Yankee Zulu.
We have had another two Pico balloon launches. The current status of the balloons launched recently is ZS6 SRC-25 was last heard on the 11th of August off the east coast of Brazil and seems to have stopped transmitting. ZS6 SRC-26, which was launched on the 15th of August, was last heard on the 16th of August between South Africa and Australia. ZR6 Tango Golf, which was launched on the 3rd of August, last heard on the 16th of August, has completed circumnavigation and is off to the second round of the world cruise. Early on the 16th of the 8th, it was already halfway across Australia. ZS1 ERZ, transmitting on a 10-meter whisper beacon, was successfully launched from Oosterfarkpunt Lighthouse in the Southern Cape around midday on Saturday 16 August. It flew straight out over the ocean and was last heard around 16:22 on Saturday afternoon just south of Jeffreys Bay. Well done to everyone. We hope that these balloons will fly multiple times around the globe. We are looking forward to launches planned for the next week, and we hope that the weather will allow for successful launches. A big thank you to Derek, ZS5 Yankee, for the presentation on Monday evening on Meteor Scatter and how to use MSK144. I have previously spoken about the Snowtail network that uses Meteor Scatter to communicate information like the depth of snow that has fallen in mountainous areas, and it was great to hear from Frank Schneider, ZS6 Golf Echo, who has had first-hand experience with the Snowtail network. Very interesting indeed. Also, big thanks to Hans, ZS6 Alpha Kilo Victor, for setting up the presentation on the AMSAT SA WebEx platform. The link to the recording of the session should be posted on the AMSAT SA website shortly. I mentioned last week that I was going to assemble a 6-meter Yagi. On Sunday afternoon, I assembled the 6-meter, 6-element portable Yagi that I had built back in 2012 as a club project. On Monday, I mounted the Yagi on the 6-meter mast that was mounted on the back of my Land Cruiser and checked the antenna and coax cables to make sure everything was all good. I pushed the Yagi up about 3 meters into the air. While Derek was talking on Monday evening, I was configuring my laptop that I normally have connected to my radio. With one eye, I was watching the screen of the radio PC, and just before the end of the presentation, I saw a ping on the screen. On Monday morning, I was up early and tried to make a Meteor Scatter contact, but no luck. I needed my vehicle in the week, so I removed the antenna, but did not dismantle it. I hung it up in the garage where I could easily take it down and fit it to the mast again. I hope to be on the air trying to make a contact again when my program allows me the opportunity. Last week, I also mentioned a website where they explained how to download the weather satellite images from the Russian Meteor M2 satellites. This week, I want to share a website which explains how to download the weather-related photos from the GOES-R series, which stands for Geostationary Operational Environmental Satellite-R, which are NOAA's latest generation of weather satellites. Take a look at the website, https://victoruniform3deltaxrayromeo.indianovember. And then the rest is a dash between every word, and it is the ultimate DIY guide to setting up a GOES-R series satellite receiver for high resolution weather imagery. I have come across some information about how to clean a touch screen on video monitors and radios. I have spent most of my working career in the test and measurement industry, and the method that was described was exactly what I've been doing over many years. I clean all my screens the same way, including tablet and cell phone screens, and I thought that I should share this information with all of you as well. Do not use any detergents or screen cleaning sprays, spirits, or any form of alcohol on your screens. A lot of these products leaves a film on the screen and eventually you will damage the screen. The best way to clean the screen is to take a piece of paper kitchen towel, wet one corner with clean water, and then lightly rub the screen continuously using the dry portion of the paper towel to absorb the moisture until the screen is 100% free of any marks. Sometimes you may need to repeat the process, but it is the best way to clean your screen without damaging it. Well, that is all for this week. I'm off to spend the next week in the bushveld and hopefully get some rest and recharge the batteries. How about telling us about that exciting long-distance contact that you have made on the VHF and above bands? Or about that project that you're working on in the VHF and above bands? Send me a consolidated report of your activity or project with any additional photos, audio, or video clips to bjacobza@gmail.com. Remember, by sharing your activities with us at VHF News allows us to tell the rest of the amateur community about your achievements, and the more we promote the activity on the VHF and above bands, the better chance we have of encouraging more amateurs to explore the world above 30 MHz.
Thank you very much, Brian, and enjoy your week in the bush. You're listening to Amateur Radio today on ZSX SRO. We're now going to Bloemfontein for the weekly HF report. Here is Dennis Green.
Good morning, here from Bloemfontein, and I must say the weather is improving. We first go to Tanzania, where Alex Sierra Quebec 9 Uniform Mike is active as 5 Hotel 1 Uniform Mike from Zanzibar Island, IOTA Africa 032, until 24 August. He operates CW and digital with some SSB on 80 to 6 meters with QSLY Club Logs OQRS, or then to Sierra Quebec 9 Uniform Mike. Staying in Tanzania, we go then to Chaz, November Kilo 8 Oscar, who will be active as 5 Hotel 3 Delta X-ray from Tanzania between 31 August and 21 September. He plans to operate CW and digital on 30 to 10 meters in his limited spare time. QSL via logbook dual EQSL or direct to November Kilo 8 Oscar. And if you visit qrj.com for 5 Hotel 3 Delta X-ray, you'll get more information. Then across to Madagascar. Silvano, Italy 2 Yankee Sierra Bravo and the Italian de-exhibition team will be active as 5 Radio 8 Tango Tango for human modes and 5 Radio 8 X-ray X-ray for non-human modes. And they'll be on Norsi Bay, Africa 057 in Madagascar from 29 October to 12 November. They will run 4 stations on 160 to 6 meters. QSL is direct to Italy 2 Yankee Sierra Bravo. And for more information, including the plan, OQRS, and new exhibition awards, you can visit www.italy2yankeesierrabravo.com/Italy Delta Tango. Then we go to Norfolk Island. Chris Victor Kilo 3 Quebec Bravo, Luke Victor Kilo 3 Hotel Yankee, and Alan Victor Kilo 6 Charlie Quebec will be active as Victor Kilo 9 November Tango from Norfolk Island, IOTA Oceana 005, between 14 and 27 September. They will operate CW digital and a little SSB on 40 to 6 meters with up to 2 stations. QSL is via Mike 0 Oscar X-ray Oscar's OQRS, and visit qrz.com for Victor Kilo 9 November Tango for updates and instructions. Christmas Island. After his Lord Howe Island operation, Janus Sierra Papa 9 Foxtrot India Hotel will be active as Victor Kilo 9 stroke Sierra Papa 9 Foxtrot India Hotel from Christmas Island, IOTA Oceana 002 from 19 September to 3 October. Plans are to operate SSB and digital on 30 to 10 meters. QSL is via Clublog's OKRS, and as well as Logbook of the World. And for all the information, go to https://victorkilo9.theexpeditions.org. New Zealand, Zulu Lima 100 Charlie is a special call sign celebrating the centenary of the New Zealand Association of Radio Transmitters, or NZART, which was formed on 16 August 1926. The call sign is valid until 6 August 2026. QSL via the Bureau as well as Logbook of the World. Then we come to Europe, and firstly the country of Romania. Members of the Federation of Romanian Radio Amateurs, FRR, will be active as Yankee Oscar 2025 Echo November Echo Sierra Charlie Uniform between 24 August and 21 September during the George Enescu International Festival and Competition. Certificates and EQSL will be available on https://hamlog.online. Held in Bucharest since 1958, the festival honors and celebrates the memory, the music and the personality of Romanian composer, pianist, violinist and conductor George Enescu, or Enescu, 1881 to 1955. Then to the Netherlands, the Dutch Lighthouse Hunt will run from 1 to 30 September, when members of the Dutch radio group will use 11 special call signs, each representing a different lighthouse in the Netherlands. The call signs are Papa Alpha 01 Lima Hotel, Papa Delta 00 Lima Hotel, Papa Delta 01 Lima Hotel, Papa Delta 02 Lima Hotel, Papa Delta 03, Papa Delta 04, Papa Delta 05, Papa Delta 06, Papa Delta 07, Papa Delta 08, and Papa Delta 09 Lima Hotel. And for all the information and awards, visit qrz.com for Papa Alpha 01 Lima Hotel. Then up to the Land Islands, where Team Oscar Golf 0 Charlie will be active from the Land Islands, Europe 0024 Auto, between 17 and 24 August. They are operating from Grid Square Kilo Oscar 09 and will be active from 160 meters right up to 70 centimeters using CWSSB RTTY, MSK 144 and JT65. They will also give 50 MHz EME a try. QSL via Oscar Hotel 5 Charlie Whiskey Direct, as well as Logbook of the World. Market Reef, Marcus Oscar Hotel 1 Mike November will be active as Oscar Juliet 0 Mike November from Market Reef, Europe 053, between 25 and 30 August. He will operate SSB, CW and digital modes on the HF bands, as well as 6 and 4 meters. QSL via Oscar Hotel 1 Mike November, and the QSOs will be uploaded to Clublog. Then across the Atlantic we go to St. Martin. Check the expedition team members Oscar Kilo 1 Fox Charlie Juliet, Oscar Kilo 2 Zulu Alpha, Oscar Kilo 2 Zulu Charlie, Oscar Kilo 6 Delta Juliet and Oscar Mike 5 Zulu Whiskey will be active as Papa Juliet 7 Kilo from St. Martin, IOTA North America 105, between 12 and 22 September. They will operate CW, SSB, RTTY and digital on 160 to 6 meters and also be active on satellites. QSL via Clublog's OQRS, which is preferred, Logbook of the World, or via Oscar Kilo 6 Delta Juliet. Then we go to Colombia. Renato, Papa Yankee 8 Whiskey Whiskey has announced plans to be active from Playa Blanca Island, IOTA South America 084, between 12 and 16 November. The call sign will be announced at a later stage. The island is located within the Utria National Nature Park, and due to strict environmental regulations, the national park has prohibited the use of fossil fuels on the island. Therefore, the operation will rely entirely on an EcoFlow power bank system supported by solar panels. This eco-friendly approach adds complexity and cost, including excess baggage, specialized transport and equipment logistics. More information is expected in due course. And then to Uruguay. Charlie Whiskey 200 at Delta India is a special event call sign for members of the Radio Club Uruguay to celebrate the bicentennial of Uruguayan Declaration of Independence on 25 August 1825. And they'll be active from 20 August up to 18 September. QSL is via Logbook of the World. Use the Bureau or then direct to Charlie X-ray 1 Alpha Alpha. And then you can find this HF report under HF Update on the SARL website, and you'll also find some information about the Bouvet Island DX Vision scheduled for 2026. That's all this week. Yeah, from Dennis, as there is four Bravo Sierra for Amateur Radio today.
And that was Dennis Green in Bloemfontein. You've been listening to Amateur Radio today on ZS6 SRL. And before we end our program today, just a few words about the various videos that are available. You can find the first few videos of the presentations at the MSAT SA Space Symposium that was held earlier this month on the MSAT SA website at www.msatsa.org.za. That's www.msatsa.org.za. You'll find on the left-hand side on the home screen the link to the conference and the videos, and there are quite a number available, and they're all on YouTube videos. So just click on the link. You can also, of course, search on YouTube for them. And then the video of the webinar on meteor scatter communication that was presented earlier this week, that video will be available by the end of today. And you can also find that on the MSAT SA website. It's listed on the left-hand side under the meteor scatter communication link. Well, that's all there is for today, slightly early. Normally we run overtime. Well, today we give a few minutes back. Thank you very much for listening, and thanks, of course, to all our contributors. Thanks to our relay stations, and thanks to you, our listeners. Have a great week. We'll be again back next Sunday with another edition of Amateur Radio Today. And don't forget to tell us whether you like it or not. What do you like? What don't you like? We really want to hear. And our address is artoday@srl.org.za. artoday@srl.org.za. Until next time, 73. Have a great week.